Cuba, tequila,
tequila,
and an IQ of under 64.
Yeah.
You're listening to Bart Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hi, my name is Bart. Welcome to Bart Cop Radio. This is show number 26. Got a little cold, don't let that throw you. Well, we got the jam-packed show today, but let me start out with, as is our wont, a little shout at Chinako for good luck. Yes, mama! Oh, that's so good. Tasting more of the wildflowers this batch than the mango or the baked apple. Well, we got everything this time. We got politics. We got Super Tuesday. We lost Joe Lieberman. Yay! We got John Edwards. We got John Kerry. We got Wesley Clark. We got Janet Jackson. We got Kid Rock. We got Martha Stewart. We got Scott Ritter. We got Wolf the Whore. We got the Vulgar Pig Boy. We got Tommy Mack in the house. We got everything. Show 26. Let's go.
This is www.bartcop.com.
Friday afternoon, I was recording as I bounced around on the TV channels, and I saw on CNN that Scott Ritter was coming up next. He was going to talk to Wolf Blitzer. Wolf is just, I can't believe CNN would allow him to represent them. He is the number one news guy in the entire CNN network, worldwide network, and they put that guy at the top of their food chain. So he's talking to Scott Ritter, and Scott Ritter said something, and Wolf the Whore jumps in with the most simplistic, he thinks like Bush, and that is not a compliment. Check out this little exchange. It's about a minute, but you just won't believe how incredibly stupid Blitzer is and how Scott Ritter has to smack him back in his place.
Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice both maintained in 2001 that Iraq was a containable threat, that it didn't pose a threat. Something occurred between 2001 and 2003 that changed the way the president...
What happened was 9-11.
9-11 had nothing to do with Iraq, and now we come down to the crux of the matter here. This isn't an intelligence failure. This is a policy failure.
It just staggers the mind to think all these months after Bush and everybody has said that 9-11 and Iraq were not connected, Wolf is still up there singing the same old songbook from last year. What's wrong with Wolf Blitzer? Why is CNN's number one news correspondent screaming a lie that's already been discredited? Why is he backing up the government who was caught lying? It's just amazing that he can't do his job. No, he is there to represent Bush. In any debate, Wolf is going to represent the Bush administration and throw out whatever lie they have, even the ones that have already been discredited. What's wrong with Wolf Blitzer and what's wrong with CNN that they would allow this idiot to speak for them? To make it worse, when Blitzer interrupts with the, I know what happened, I know what happened, I know, call on me, teacher, call on me, I know what happened, it was 9-11. He thought he was just so cute. You know, he had that same Bush smirk on his face. He was just so proud of himself that he thought of the answer. Ooh, what could have happened? And he just jumped to it just so automatically, like most every Washington correspondent does. They have trained themselves to toe the Bush line. That's their job now. That's their function, to get the government's message to the people to overrule the objectives of the people who are looking at it objectively. I'm so old, I remember when the press was a watchdog for the government, not their good little puppy. And then Ritter continues with a little more.
This is policymakers like Donald Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz, Condoleezza Rice, and others who used 9-11 to pursue their own agenda on Iraq when they knew that there was neither substantive factually based information to sustain Iraq's weapons of mass destruction threat or links between Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda. So, you know, we have to go back to Harry Truman's old adage, the buck stops at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I agree, there must be a full investigation, but not just of the intelligence community, but of the policymakers who made the decision to go to war based upon faulty intelligence.
Sorry about the bad edit. It's Wolf's fault. As Scott Ritter was finishing a sentence, the idiot jumps in and cuts him off with this gem. Wolf knows he's lost the argument horribly, so instead of backing off, he does what all Republicans do. Basically, he's saying, okay, you might have won that one, but how about this one? Check him out here as he takes Well, after Scott Ritter forced him to eat it, now he jumps back into the GOP secondary position. Check out this idiotic question.
Having said all that, you lived in Iraq. You were a UN inspector. You saw what life was like under Saddam Hussein's regime. When all is said and done, despite some apparently faulty intelligence, are the people of Iraq better off today?
That's a question that has to be asked to the people of Iraq. Not
what do you,
I believe,
but what do you believe?
Yeah. No, I believe that the people of Iraq are going to they're suffering now, and they're going to suffer for years to come because of our unilateral actions. That there were ways to deal with Saddam Hussein that didn't involve, you know, unilateral invasion with the United States stepping away from international law, etc. More importantly, though, than the Iraqi people, I care about the American people. I care about the damage that's been done to, you know, democratic processes, the President of the United States misleading Congress, misleading the American people, the Congress abrogating their constitutional responsibilities regarding the declaration of war. I think this country has been hurt tremendously by this war in Iraq, and we're going to continue to suffer, and that's why I think it's imperative that we complete the phase of democratic processes, which is accountability. We must hold those whom we elect to higher office accountable for what they do in our name. The President of the United States either lied or misled the American people, and I think everybody in the United States has to look themselves in the mirror and say, what are we going to do about it?
So what we have here is Wolf doing everything he can to put CNN's power behind the Bush administration's lie, and when he got caught doing that, he fell back to the stupid position, well, maybe we lied about all that, but are the people better off? A, it's not our question to ask. Why the hell are we walking around the world kicking in doors asking the people, you think we're better off now that we murdered your leaders? What the hell kind of business is that? Secondly, when they come to you and say, are the people of Iraq better off? You say, yes. And then you say, but is the world better off with a stronger or weaker Saddam? And when you say weaker, you say, well, then why did Cheney spend the 90s making Saddam stronger? When Cheney sold Saddam $23 million worth of oil field equipment, he did that so Saddam could make more money, make his military stronger, put a bigger boot on the throat of those people, and it was all due to Dick Cheney making millions down there with Halliburton. Now, why the hell doesn't somebody call him on the obvious? I don't know. It wasn't Scott Ritter's place to bring up the Halliburton question, but by God, I'll make it my place. Wolf the Whore ought to report the news. He ought not to be a show for the whore administration that was never elected. It's so easy to dispute the lies. Every lie they've got can be disputed so easily, but so few are willing to do it because there's more money going along with the lies. Wolf the Whore didn't get to be the top guy at CNN for no reason. He knows who to blow. This is how the game is played now in D.C. The White House knows that Wolf is going to be their good little puppy. So next time the president gets in trouble, he knows he can call Wolf, and Wolf's going to give him a whole bunch of little softball questions. Oh, Mr. President, is it true you're just trying to help the poor little orphans of Iraq get away from that evil, monstrous man and that oil had nothing to do with it? And then Bush can go, uh-huh. And that way it turns out to be a successful interview for both of them. Bush goes up in prestige because he's got the interview the other guy couldn't get, and the president looks less stupid because he was able to go, uh-huh, when Wolf gave him a big softball question. I always get back to all the president's men. Remember they needed three sources, and they would investigate, and they would demand the truth, and they would root out the evil and all that? But no, in today's America, you ask Mr. Rove what you're supposed to ask, he gives you a list, you follow your orders, and then you get on TV and say, I'm a news person. Isn't it disgusting? Doesn't it just make you want to get sick?
Question was, did Iraq threaten us? And the right now is saying, well, Bush never said it was an imminent threat. Here's what he did say. Let me just rip through this quickly. The danger to our country is grave and it is growing. The unique and urgent threat posed by Iraq, a significant threat, a real and dangerous threat, a serious and growing threat, a threat of unique urgency, a grave threat, much graver threat than anybody could have possibly imagined. Vice President Cheney called it a mortal threat.
Yeah.
That is, they'll kill us if we don't kill them. And White House Press Secretary, speaking for his boss, Scott McClellan, says this is about an imminent threat. Mm-hmm. That's the big lie here, wasn't it, Cliff?
Not at all. And matter of fact, Dr. Kay, if you listen to what he said, he did use the word imminent threat in regard to Saddam.
How would they threaten us without weapons? Were they going to make prank phone calls?
It's very simple.
They had no weapons in that situation.
You're in the mix with Bart Cop Radio.
This next bit, I kind of accidentally recorded this call to Rush yesterday. Why don't you check this guy out? It reads like a Wesley Clark commercial.
You're learning about the truth, the Democratic Party. Back to the phones, Dennis in Montgomery, Alabama. Hi, nice to have you with us.
Hey, Rush, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I'm supporting Bush for two primary reasons. I'm not the brightest guy in the world. I don't understand a lot of things that happen in politics.
I don't think this is a trick call or a setup call. I think this is a very typical voter. Guy listens to Rush now and then and just doesn't have time to keep up with politics, but he knows what he knows, and he's going to act on his instinct and his gut. So check him out.
But I do not feel secure knowing that John Kerry would be in charge of the country. I know that I feel that at least with George Bush we have some protection. And although I don't think they're cowards, I do think that they all are very naive. You don't extend an olive branch to a man who wants to cut off your arms.
See, this guy admits up front he doesn't know too much. He doesn't pay much attention. But he knows that the Democrats are more peaceful, and he knows that the Republicans don't take shit off nobody. And he's scared, and he's scared for his family, he's scared for his future. So he's going to go with the fighter instead of the olive branch, like he said.
How long have you been a Democrat?
All my life. This will be the first time I ever voted Republican.
Is that right? How old are you?
51.
I was going to ask you, because so you were not a Reagan Democrat at all?
No. And secondly...
Well, wait a minute. Would you describe yourself at any time in the last 20 years as conservative more than liberal? Forget Republican.
No, I think that conservatism is something I'm just starting to develop. I think I'm starting to look at things a little differently. 9/11 made me look at some of these issues a little differently.
How long have you been listening to this program?
A long time.
That explains it.
Probably as long as you've been doing it.
Well,
and although I've...
Took us a while, but we got you. Thank you. It's great to have you as part of the movement now.
Yeah, and the other thing that I wanted to say, too, is, you know, the Democrats keep talking about being the hero for the working-class guy.
Yeah.
I am the working-class guy, and I don't see them as a hero if they want to increase my taxes and take away the tax breaks. They have helped me.
This idiot doesn't understand. Bush talks about tax cuts and putting more money in people's pockets. But this poor bastard is going to get $200 from Bush, and the multimillionaires are going to get $5 million apiece. And this idiot thinks that if he votes for Bush, he's going to get more money. He doesn't understand that the deficit has gone from a $5 trillion plus to $7 trillion minus, and that his whole economic future is going down the toilet, but he's got that $200 in his pocket, so he feels secure, because the idiot's given all these trillions away to the super rich. I don't know how we educate the entire country and explain to them, when Bush talks tax cuts, he's not talking about me and you. He's going to vote for Bush primarily on the safety issue, but number two, because Bush claims he's going to give him some money, but he's not. The poor bastard doesn't realize he's getting flim-flammed. He's playing the shell game. But forgetting the economic picture, the main reason this guy's going to vote for Bush is because he's scared. He's scared of terrorism, and that's why... I wanted to see Wesley Clark go up against Bush, because nobody's going to tell the four-star general he doesn't know how to handle the military and he doesn't know how to fight a foreign enemy. But if we nominate Kerry, I admit has a chance. Kerry would be the only other guy besides Clark I'd want in there. But if someone besides Clark or Kerry gets in, we're going to lose for sure. If Kerry gets in, we might lose. I think if Clark gets in, we will win. Of course, you're free to disagree. I'm just saying, this guy on the phone, this is Mr. Voter America. This is the Democrat that's walking in to flip the switch. He's going to flip it for somebody. He's either going to flip the switch for Bush or somebody more military than Bush. And lastly, I'd like to remind you about Bart's Law number 2. Anytime a person or entity makes a mistake that puts extra money in their pocket, in this case you'd substitute power for extra money, expect them to make that mistake again and again. Since 9/11 happened on Bush's watch, and everybody rallied around Bush, expect more 9/11s. Because every time there's a 9/11, Bush's popularity is going to go up 40, 50 points. So that's pretty much a guarantee between now and election time, if he needs it. But if he needs a boost, he knows where he can get one. His old buddy Osama can come through for him any time. Plus, he could always do a thing like, remember when the power went out in the Northeast, everybody thought terrorism? He could always do something ambiguous. We never knew. There's no telling what caused the big accident. There's no telling why the bridge fell. There's no telling why the plane crashed. Could have been Bin Laden, could not, but re-elect Bush. He'll keep us safe. No matter how many 9/11s there are. Vote for Bush.
To be closer, to be part of,
Radio, Radio, Radio.